The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you the first Monday in February. We launch into a new work week. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. John Couch, not only is he my engineer and producer, he's my friend, and he's on the other side of the glass, ready to make this an outstanding program as we launch into a new week on the Buckmaster Show. We begin with the Monday Political Face-Off. That's the way we do it here and have done it now as we launch into our 10th year. Dr. Don Jorgensen is seated to my left. Dr. Jorgensen is the former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm great. I get to spend a little bit of time up in Seattle, one of my favorite parts of the country, last week. And, you know, I drive them crazy because they're all complaining about the rain, and I walk around smiling for a few days because it's a nice change.
They're having some of the most rain and snow they've had in years.
They had rain every day of the month of January.
Wow.
Really incredible.
It's going to make for a very green spring, and hopefully it will carry into the summer and prevent some of those big fires. Also with us today, seated to my right, is Bruce Ash. Bruce is in his fourth term now as Republican National Committee chairman. There are two Republican chair people in each state, and Bruce is one of them. Bruce is also the host of a very popular show that airs here on 1030, The Voice. That's his program, Inside Track. And Bruce, I listened to you. You had quite a show on Saturday.
Well, locally, we had Frank Flash represent the old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association mm-hmm. for the reunion De El Fuerte, going to take place this
Saturday
at Fort Lowell Park and along the old Fort Lowell Road. And then we had Willis Lee, a good friend of mine who's the vice president of the NRA, talking about gun issues and their impact on the election in 2020. And then we had Ramon Bueller on. I've known Ramon. He is a, you know, people hate a lobbyist, and I guess technically what he does, he's a lobbyist, but really he's a change maker. And his thing for several years with the Madison Coalition has been about regulations and how unelected bureaucrats are doing so much. Anyway, it was a great show, and we have Andy Puzder, who is a advisor to the president, on the show this week, and then Dr. Bostrom, who's going to talk about the Middle East peace process.
All right, we're going to talk more about the old Fort Lowell days, which is Saturday, with my friend Tom Collier, who now lives in the neighborhood, as do you, Bruce.
Where's Tom live? Whereabouts?
Tom and Bev moved from our area in the central foothills. He's over in Fort Lowell, and I don't know the exact area.
It's a great neighborhood, and people listening, don't move there. We don't need more people, but the people who are there are great. We
Don,
walk
do
our
dogs. Do
you
know that neighborhood?
Oh, it's fascinating area.
It's the best.
If you haven't been there, study it, learn about it. It's incredible history.
Well, we are so delighted that Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing has been with us since day one as our sponsor on the radio for the Monday Political Face-Off. Moe's is located at the northwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. And Moe, if you're listening, I know you've got a piece that's being worked on for me, but when I pick it up, there'll be another that some more framing needs that I have. Mo is my go-to guy for all of our framing needs. And Bruce, it's safe to say, because you're a big backer of Mo's as well, the piece you will get back, that I will get back, probably picked up in the next couple of days, will be of museum quality.
Well, and that's exactly what he created for myself and my colleagues. We, Solomon Yu from Oregon, and I retired our RNC member pins and created an unofficial membership to the RNC to a Washington Times columnist, Ralph Hallow. And Mo and Corinne did a fabulous job putting this thing together, and it looks as though it's something that belongs in a museum. It is.
Wow.
Absolutely perfect. I mean, you know, pitch and tone, you know, they get it right all the time.
Wow. All right, let's switch now to politics. Don, today, well, I'm going to borrow your line. Well, you do the line. Yesterday was the Super Bowl.
Yesterday was the end of the football season. Yes. Today is opening day for campaigns.
It is. And I'll tell you, the polling is showing that Bernie is going to win Iowa. And then in a week from tomorrow, the New Hampshire primary. I heard something driving in on, I think it was the Hugh Hewitt show. Yeah, I was talking about that No Democrat has ever won the nomination who has not won Iowa and New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's approximately right. If they've won both, they've always won the nomination the past. But as we've seen, I think the past 4 years, the past doesn't mean a lot anymore because campaigns have changed so much. It used to, the other line used to be that there are three tickets out of Iowa.
What are they?
Three viable winners that get to move forward.
Okay.
That's not the case anymore. You could have four, even five, come out of Iowa still claiming to be where they've been viable, strong candidates into New Hampshire and past New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. Just because of the changes and the level of interest, as well as the process. And I think folks are becoming more familiar with the process in Iowa. It's kind of an interesting situation with the caucus in that, you know, folks show up tonight to their library or their school or church area or indoor stadium, and they physically go to the corner that their candidate represents their candidate, and they are head counts. Now, if you don't get 15% of that room, you pick another candidate.
Huh.
So often, someone's second choice could benefit.
Wow.
So, for example, if you're a...
Kind of a complicated process.
It is in a way. So yeah. It's forced all the candidates, in a sense, to be nice to one another.
Uh-huh.
Because if you want to pick up someone else's second choice, choice. Yeah. So it's kind of a complicated process. And it all results in, again, what matters. And that is getting delegates to the nominating convention this summer. And... there are only 41 delegates that come out of Iowa. And so you're looking at three, perhaps four, splitting that. Not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's speaking to at this point is the strength and legitimacy of the campaign coming out. But I think the difference here is you're not going to see surprises like you might have in the past with, Obama surprised folks when he won it or way back 4 years ago, I think Ted Cruz won the Republican nomination
Donald Trump
out of Iowa.
He failed in Iowa.
So it's an interesting
exercise. Did Trump win
New
Hampshire? Do you recall?
If he didn't win it, he was second.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of makes the point. You just have to stay in the race in the top three or four, even in New Hampshire. I don't think it'll be sorted out until Super Tuesday, which I think is first week in March, when you then have a large number of delegates being identified. You have a better cross-section of states. By then, you'll have Nevada, South Carolina, California. And I think then the strength of a Biden, the strength of Bernie Sanders, of Klobuchar, if she stays in, will either rise or fall by then. But Iowa is basically just the demonstration, really, of raising money and staying power and generating enough energy to keep moving.
Speaking of raising money, Bloomberg is spending unbelievable amount of money. Every time you look at social media, he's got a new ad up. I think he had a one-minute ad in the Super Bowl last night.
He did. Focused on his efforts to support gun safety and gun reform.
I wonder if this hurts Trump at all, Bruce Ash.
No. Look, you know, the best thing that could happen is the Democrats spend billions of dollars in the primary, which they probably will. But the president last year raised about $470 million. There's outside groups that have raised, you know, tens or hundreds of millions more. There's probably going to be at least $1 billion spent on this campaign directly.
Jeez.
Through the RNC and through the Trump reelect. And to go back and amplify a little about what Don has said, the Democrats have changed the order of primaries. California, for example, had always been the last primary.
This
was usually
June.
The first Tuesday in June.
Yep.
They're now on Super Tuesday. Bloomberg, Biden, Bernie, they're all very, very focused on those Super Tuesday. But there'll be a lot of media excitement. So the winner or winners are going to have a lot of momentum as they get along. And what Don was talking about, you know, we have a very, very unique in all of the world way of selecting a president. And you know, this is relatively a recent sort of thing. I mean, we really didn't have primaries until the early 20th century. But while people criticize the length and the cost and all that, and the tiresome sort of, you know, political stuff, this is the most important political office in the world today. And I think we all want to make sure we know who that person is and select the very, very, very best person. And that's why we go through this. And it's a great, you know, small D democratic process that our country is unique from all other countries.
There's another even more significant change in the process just since the 70s, mm-hmm. and that's the change in how delegates were awarded in these primaries and caucuses. In the past, folks heard about the smoke-filled rooms. Well, that were the leaders in the different parties that would get together, and the candidates had to go before them. They had to go before the governors, the senators, representatives, the party leaders, and make their case, because those were the folks who determined who would get the delegates from a state. That all changed, at least for the Democrats, in the 70s, where it now has become the popular vote. You had some superdelegates, and that has also become more of an issue.
Well, it still exists in the Democratic Party.
It does. You still have that component, which caused some issues with the 2016 election. But the majority come from the vote of the people, the Democrats on the ground, like we're seeing with the caucus tonight. And that's another significant change, which has allowed these candidates, like a Trump on the Republican side, like a Yang, a Steyer, Bloomberg, outside the political structures, to become, to at least have the potential to become viable candidates. And that's a change that, again, we're seeing have greater power, as we've just talked about. And some of that power is based on how much money you can spend.
Look, and all I'll say is that the Democrats ought to look at what happened in 2016 with the Republicans, where the party leaders who wanted a different nominee.
Oh, yeah, they did not
they
want
wanted
Trump.
A different nominee, but they listened to the voters, they listened to what the voices were across the country, and that was how we had changed the rules during my tenure. I mean, I sort of directed it. It wasn't organized, but it was a great thing that we did.
The Monday Political Face-Off with Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Southwest Corner, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Also, we get funding, and I'm so glad we do. What a wonderful partner we have in Mona's Danish Bakery. Ann and I were up there for lunch, and the new cook that Chief Baker and owner Steve has hired, her name is Jessica. And wow, what a beautiful sandwich she prepared for me. I had a turkey, hot turkey sandwich with the red bell pepper, Havarti cheese on the rustic bread. Anne had a roast beef sandwich. Just a delightful lunch there. And then Michael, who is the assistant chief baker, has put together these gluten-free macaroons. Don, do you like the macaroons?
Oh, my wife makes it a point to buy macaroons for me wherever she sees them. So,
oh, my goodness.
And I have to say, I hope your listeners are enjoying their lunch right now and listen to you talk about it as we sit here drooling.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. Mona's Northeast Real Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Check it out. Open right now for lunch, but we were there at about 11 o'clock, and of course, many people Sunday morning still having breakfast, and that they open the grill 6:30 each morning. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com or a link at buckmastershow.com. We'll be back with the face-off. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops.
craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Don Jorgensen is here, seated to my left, and Bruce Ash to my right. The Face-Off is presented by our friends over at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We speak so highly of them because it's a personal like that I have, because I know the quality that they will give you. Southwest Corner, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. Okay, the Republicans in the Senate, Don, are poised to acquit Donald Trump without even truly putting him on trial. They have allowed no new witnesses and no new evidence. And it will all be over Wednesday.
Right. The least surprising outcome that that you could expect in the past year for anything. Mitch McConnell telegraphed that there would be no trial, that they wouldn't consider anything impartially. And so we knew acquittal was coming. It was just a matter of what would happen between then and now. And what has happened is it's become very clear, because the Republicans have refused to allow a trial to be conducted. No witnesses, no documents, no facts, which is what happens. Everything else is just discussion. The result of this is that Trump will be acquitted, but he will not be exonerated.
Hmm.
You know? And even the Republicans have admitted that. Lamar Alexander, a couple of days ago, basically said he's guilty. The mm-hmm. facts are there. We see that. Murkowski said the same thing. So they've admitted that he has committed these acts, which for which he was impeached, but they're not willing to do their job under the Constitution and conduct an honest trial. And so what we have is what we expected to have, is a Russian-style show trial with the result that Mitch McConnell said was coming. And what they have done is opposed what 75% of the American public wanted, which was a trial with witnesses and documents. And I think the Republicans are going to have a lot to answer for and perhaps pay for that in November. But the result is what was projected. And the other problem that the Republicans have now is basically they have kind of nodded their head and agreed to an authoritarian style of government by supporting Trump's approach to government and backing him up and basically ignoring the Constitution, ignoring the rule of law.
You're saying it's a dangerous precedent.
Very dangerous, because what does that do now? It lowers the bar for the next president to do what Dershowitz said and what the Republicans said, is basically to claim that if the president says it and does it, it's okay.
Wow.
And that weakens the Constitution, that weakens our democracy.
And for rebuttal, here is Bruce Ash.
So all of our friends who are listening, Don Jorgensen is a dear friend. He's really a good guy. But take everything he said and turn it over the other way.
Wow.
Because that's what's happened. If their lips are moving, they're lying. If their lips are moving, they're actually doing the stuff that they're accusing Donald Trump of doing. And we all know that that has been the case, and that is a true fact. And all of the stuff that happened in Russia was debunked. All of the stuff that happened in Ukraine was a Democrat plot using operatives from Ukraine. Sort of Russia's the varsity team and Ukraine is sort of the JV team. But the result of this impeachment is it will come back and hurt Democrats. They've wasted time. House members, particularly here in Arizona, they said they were going to go to Congress in order to pass things to help people. They have been obsessed about all of this business since before the election, and they said, leadership in the House said, we're going to impeach him, and you know what? They're going to try to impeach him again after this, maybe before the election, maybe after he's reelected. This whole business with impeachment, reversed from what Don said, it has taken a new low because of the haphazard way that the House handled the hearings. They had 17 witnesses, untold hours and documents and all. And at the end of it, there was never a path to get 2/3. And this is not the kind of courtroom drama that you see on Perry Mason or if you're in a Pima County Superior Court. It's an entirely different process that the Democrats have conflated to sort of shine that bright, shiny object in front of people in order to gin up support. People understand what's happened. People see that this was an obvious political rigged deal. And I think that the president comes out of this in much stronger condition. His numbers reflect it, as well as the enormous amount of money that his supporters, including myself, have contributed to his reelection campaign.
Don, before you make your next comment, Greg has called us, and he doesn't like, Don, what you said. So let's listen here to find out what it is about what Don said that Greg doesn't like. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Bill. Well, you know, if you try to rewire a car and you get those spark plug wires misplaced, it's going to backfire. What Pelosi and Schiff did is going to backfire worse than a rewiring of a car. And Don, with all due respect, when you refer to Trump and a Russian authoritarian regime, that's ludicrous. I mean, didn't the Democrats learn a lesson from alleging collusion with the Russians?
All right.
Well, again, I point you simply to the facts. And even the Republicans in the Senate, at least a few of them that were honest, acknowledged that the facts were there, that the President of the United States used his public office for private gain by imploring a foreign government to interfere with the U.S. election by investigating his political rival. That's demonstrated, that's proven, that's factual. And for those reasons, the House, in doing their constitutional duty, had no choice but to investigate that. And the decision made by the majority of the House was to impeach this president. The Senate, led by Republicans, did not engage in their constitutional duty and failed to conduct a trial. Whether or not the outcome might have been preordained, they still prevented the American people from hearing from those witnesses firsthand, from looking at the facts, and from getting the story. And we know that. And as we saw, more and more came out in the news with regard to what John Bolton offered in terms of information that we don't have the opportunity to hear, that the Senate did not want to hear. So there's plenty of evidence there. Whatever the motives, the facts were the facts.
All right. This
president, you know what's great about this?
The election.
You know what's great about this? 30 seconds.
Joe Biden himself did exactly what the president's accused of doing in the public, and when he got done with it, he got the results that he was looking for.
Quite
his quid pro quo, and then son of a buck, that's what they did. You know, give him 6 hours to make a decision.
Quite
and
the opposite.
He was dealing with some pretty crooked people in Ukraine at that time. But this will pass, and hopefully. Both parties, because the Republicans were guilty of this in 1998-99 in the Clinton impeachment. We ought to elevate impeachment to what it's supposed to be, high crimes and misdemeanors.
All right,
John. As the Democrats did. But I think my difference is I don't think folks will forget. I think this will still be an issue come the November elections.
This was a popularity contest about who liked Donald Trump and didn't like Donald Trump.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Check it out for all of your framing needs. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. My thanks to Bruce Ash. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.
And Don Jorgensen. Thanks, Don.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you have a great week. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk in the Zocalo Village Green Things Studios, or Green Things Zocalo Village, either way. What a winning combination over at 3384 East River Road. They've got it all for your garden, and oh my goodness, the beautiful furniture. Much of it is handcrafted in Mexico and Latin America and Europe. Owner Jan and Jack make these personal trips, buying trips down to Central Mexico. I understand a huge van is still being unloaded full of beautiful merchandise going into the Zocalo Village component on their 13-acre site. GreenThingsAZ.com or ZocaloVillage.com for more information. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, four-star General John Wickham. General Wickham was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command, Commander of the United States Forces in Korea, and the 8th Army in Korea. He is the author of Korea on the Brink, a book that is still available on Amazon. The book chronicles the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. In 1983, President Reagan appointed General Wickham Chief of Staff of the United States Army, a 1950 graduate of West Point, former social sciences instructor there. General Wickham retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. The Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the United States Army. General Wickham was a combat commander in Vietnam, where he was critically wounded. He was twice awarded the Silver Star for battlefield valor, as well as the Bronze Star for valor, the Purple Heart, get this, 11 Air Medals, 4 Legions of Merit Medals, and 8 Distinguished Service Medals. His recent collection of poetry is titled On Life, Love, and Living, and it's available now on Amazon. He and his wife, Anne, reside in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you, sir? Speaking a little Korean there.
A little bit of Korean to emphasize your important program, Bill.
Thank you very much. Tell me something. Do they speak a different dialect as you were speaking those words of Korean? Is there a North Korean language and a South?
No, they're the same, but the okay. North Koreans have developed some new words, and even people from the South that go up there, they say it's a different language, but it's basically the same.
All right, General, let's begin with China. In your long career, have you ever seen a country completely quarantined like what is going on with China? Have you ever seen what's going on with this coronavirus?
No, I don't. But going back even to World War II, you remember there were quarantines because of influenza and other viruses that the military worried about and emphasized. It complicated the role of the military. So this is not unusual, but this seems to be a particularly dangerous virus with some serious implications. It raises a question in all of our minds, it should. What are we doing to deal with the potential drug, I mean,
These drug-resistant infections that are out there, and these flus now, you know, so much emphasis is on the coronavirus, but General, we have now 10,000 Americans who have died just this year from the influenza in this country.
That's right, and part of it is sort of the ignorance of people and not taking care of their health and not getting the shots to protect themselves as they should. And there's a new influenza medicine you can take and should get it.
Yeah, everybody should get that shot. General, it looks like Putin will be the premier for life. Some thoughts about this Russian premier, and is it a good thing in the long run for the United States to be up against a gentleman who will be there for life?
Well, it's up and down on that. I think in the long run, it's probably good. There's an interesting aspect of Putin that most people are not aware of. When Putin was in the KGB, his mother gave him a Christian cross. And Putin, on a trip to the Middle East, had that cross blessed by a priest. And believe it or not, Putin has worn that cross ever since and still does today. So there's a side of Putin that we don't necessarily appreciate. There's a religiosity there that can influence the future. So I think Putin can be a useful leader, and we can work with him. That's important, that we as a nation work closely with the Russians and with the Chinese. And the Chinese have got a similar thing with their premier. There's no individual that's going to succeed the current premier. So in China and in Russia, you basically have leaders for life. So we can work with them if we're smart about it.
General, I want to flash back to your time as chief. The Soviet Union at the time, of course, the wall had not come down. How dangerous was that period when you were chief of staff of the United States Army in the 1980s? How dangerous was the Soviet Union?
It was dangerous for many reasons. One in particular was the nuclear weapons. They had thousands of nuclear weapons. And the interesting feature is that because of political leadership, particularly from the United States, we negotiated with the USSR, among other things, a reduction of nuclear weapons and treaties that enabled progress to be made in that field. So I think that we led to an end of the Cold War because we did have the capabilities and because the Russian leaders realized that they needed to work more closely with the United States. Unfortunately, what's going on now could be complications that get in the way of that problem situation. And we need to do a much better job. As I've mentioned on your wonderful program in the past, our State Department is only 60% manned with professionals. That's wrong. We should hire more people. And many of our ambassadors are not in countries that they should be. So we need to do a better job. If we're going to walk the talk about diplomacy, let us have people that do that job, and we're not doing it. So I think that currently we're on a wrong path, a path that's not leadership-driven.
I was just reflecting on Soviet Union and the Afghani War, which I believe, General Wickham, broke out in 1979, and it carried over into, it was part of your, as the Chief of Staff of United States Army during the Russian War with Afghanistan. Were we getting any intelligence that, I mean, where I'm getting at here is, like Vietnam, shouldn't we have learned some lessons about what happened with the Soviets in Afghanistan?
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, Bill, USSR faced a problem in Afghanistan similar to Vietnam, and one can argue historically, and it's written this way, that Afghanistan is the Vietnam problem for Russia. They wandered into that field. When you look at the geography of that region, the U.S., Afghanistan plays a crucial role in terms of logistical distances and resources. Afghanistan has resources, natural resources, and we need to work more closely with the Afghan leadership. As I said in the past, one of the problems we have faced, and here again it's about the diplomacy issue, we need a regional solution to problems in that region of the world. We need to get the United States, Russia, China, India, and Pakistan involved in working out a regional solution. We've not done that in the past administration or the current one. So we're wandering into this situation and continue to wander unilaterally, and I think it's wrong. We need to be much more organized in leadership role.
In many ways, what we're seeing going on right now in the Afghani insurgent attacks rose sharply late last year. In many ways, what we're seeing is almost a rerun of the Soviet intervention in Afghanistan with that horrible war that they fought. And it's a guerrilla war that the Taliban threw at the Russians. They've been throwing it at us for, I think this thing's been going on 15 years.
Amen. It has, and it's going on longer. As you know better than anybody, Bill, the problem we face in the Middle East is in part related, or in large part related, to the split between the Shia and the Sunni faith of Islam. And so we continue to face that problem. And the attitude that the United States has had, we can solve the problem for you. Step aside, little Middle Eastern man. We'll show you how to solve the problem. We tried that in Vietnam, and look what happened. We've tried it now in places in the Middle East. What we really need to realize is that we cannot alone solve their problems. We need the locals to solve their problems and to work on them. We can help, and we can provide resources to do that, but we need to get the regional people involved and the current leaders of these nations. We're not doing enough and aggressively in that regard, and so I think we're going to face more hostility in the Middle East. Look what we've done now with Iran. We should be working more closely with Iran, a major country of almost 100 million, well-educated, one of the most educated countries in the Middle East. And we need to work more closely with them instead of rubbing their face in the ground the way we're doing now, tearing up that nuclear deal, not perfect deal, but it was a deal that prevented Iran from having nuclear weapons for at least 15 years. Tearing that up, I think, was a foolish mistake, and we're going to face the results of that as Iran moves in its own direction.
All right, General Wickham, stick around. We're going to take a break and hear from the wonderful partners of the Buckmaster Show that make this program possible on 1030 The Voice, Trusted News Talk. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 790-2040. If you would like a question directed to General Wickham, or if you have a comment, that would be fine too. We'll be right back.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. If you're thinking about maybe a weekend road trip, this would be a great weekend to go to Silver City because Saturday is the Chocolate Festival. That's going to be a fun event over in Silver City. If you love chocolate, that will be the place to be. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. That's the good starting place, the great starting place to find out about where to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham, retired United States Army Chief of Staff, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line and waiting to go on the air is our friend Jim has a comment about the Middle East. Go ahead, Jim. You're with General Wickham.
Hey, General Wickham, number one, hey, it's great to talk to you again, sir. You went over a lot today. Putin, I agree with you that there may be an advantage to having Putin in for as long as he wants because it gives us stability in both diplomacy and strategic planning. Afghanistan, we've been there too long. We probably should never have gone. I agree with you on that. What our lessons learned is going to be, who knows, do we ever learn, you know, between Vietnam and some of our other never-ending conflicts other than war. But with Afghanistan, you're absolutely right. The precious minerals, heavy metals, all of that is something that needs to be done. The problem is, you say rely on Afghani leadership. Yeah, to a point, and regionally it should be something that other people deal with. Particularly, this is one place where I think we could deal with Iran, is I think Iran should have a better place at the table in dealing with Pakistan and Afghanistan.
I agree with you 100%. when you reflect on Vietnam and our experience there years ago, we could have walked away from that country, but we didn't. We helped defend it, and we helped the leadership provide leadership for the future with Park Chung-hee, the dictator. We helped him provide a group of American-educated scientists and engineers and logisticians to develop the policies for the future of that nation. And as a result, South Vietnam has grown into a democracy like the United States, institutions similar to the United States, and it's a robust leader economically and politically in Asia. And America deserves credit for that. But the point being that the leadership there did rely on the United States and our leadership to do that and using our resources to do that. We need to move in that direction more so than we're doing now, in my humble opinion. And we can do better at this.
All right, let's see if we can work Ingrid in very quickly on our live line. Ingrid, you're with General Wickham.
Hi, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what was going on because the volume wasn't up. I hope it's not a repeat. Do you really believe that you can make any progress with a country like Iran or any other clergy-run country, given its history? Thank you very much.
Good point. We can always take the negative view and say that the history of these countries like Iran and Russia is so adverse, so anti-democratic, that we're not going to work with them. But the reality is we have to. That's the world we live in. And countries have their own philosophies and views, like Saudi Arabia and Iran. And they grows out of their religious faith as well as historical faith. So we can work with them, but we need to understand history behind these countries. Unfortunately, in my humble opinion, our current administration does not understand the history, does not pay attention enough to it, and let history provide leadership. You know, Santayana used to write that those who don't understand history are going to be faced with concluding the same mistakes. And we're doing this today, in my humble opinion. But we can do better if we got better leadership all the way down, from the president on down. And we don't have that. And I think America suffers because of that. And we as citizens need to do a better job of that. And while I'm at it, just a comment of commendation for Bill Buckmaster and his leadership and the companies and institutions that support his program. They're providing a wonderful access to knowledge that will influence our policies for the future. And you and I, as citizens of America, face very dangerous times. In my humble opinion, and after 40 years in the military, this is one of the most dangerous periods in American history. And we need to walk the talk instead of just what we're doing now.
General Wickham, thank you very much. Thank you for the kudos, and hope you're doing well. You're going to be, what, 92 in June? Is that correct?
That's right, Bill, and time moves on, but the good Lord takes care of us.
Yes.
One of the lessons we all learn quickly is that we are not alone in this life. The good Lord has a plan for us, and we can work with the good Lord. We need to be thankful, and we need, above all, to have a positive, upbeat outlook on life and not be negative.
Amen to that, General Wickham. Thank you, sir. I hope things will go well for you here in the coming days. Thank you, sir.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks a lot, General Wickham. Always a pleasure to talk with him. 91 years old, still going strong. The Buckmaster Show. Going to do it for this Monday. Thanks, John Couch, on the other side of the glass. We're going to be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. But next, Dave Ramsey. Always a fun show talking about money right after we take a break from CBS. Have a great afternoon.